do that. Think about it. He had all of his disciples had jobs, they had lives, they had their way of seeing the world, which wasn't the way he saw it. And I'm going to tell you, right now, the world is pushing in on us to think the way the world thinks and not think the way Jesus thinks. Do we want to believe, that look at life through a divine, through heaven, or do we want to look at life through worldly and man's ways and thoughts? And those disciples, when they were in the boat that day, and Jesus said, listen, y'all know this verse. I printed it out so you can read it. Matthew 4:18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And these were successful businessmen that were in a generational business. They were solid, completely religious Jews. And this guy, this rabbi, comes by. And it's interesting, when I never thought about this until I was praying about it. And you know, they fished at night. That's when they fished. So Jesus had to go out there on purpose to find these guys. It was dark. And he yells at them, follow me, guys. I'll make you fishers of men. What we didn't know was that was the greatest privilege ever given to any of us, that we get to be the hand that lifts people up out of the mire, out of the dirt, out of the dust. We get to be the people. When Easter, when you invite people here, I want to talk about that today. It's when you invite people to come, they're going to get to meet a God that is different than any they've ever thought of. He loves them. He believes in every person. He believes in you. He sees you, and he sees the potential in your life, and he sees what he's done. He sees you righteous and holy and pure. He sees you as a son and not a slave. He sees you as someone who inherits the kingdom, not as a member of society. He sees you. He really sees you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your mind. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrows. He came because he loves you. And you know, that's what happened. And so I want to look at something today. I want to look at a passage of scripture out of Isaiah. 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words. And y'all, most of you have heard this thought. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, when you hear that, when you read those words that Isaiah wrote, do you read them as an accusation? Like, listen, you're not doing right. You're not thinking right. You're not acting right. Is that what you hear when you hear Isaiah say this? I mean, that's how we think. That's how the world thinks. That's how we were taught to think. So are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts? Why do you think the Holy Spirit inspired Isaiah to write those words that are in our scripture 2,700 years later? We're reading those words. What did he mean by that? Well, look at it in context. I'm so glad the Bible agrees with me, or I'm glad I agree with the Bible. Isaiah 55:6 is the verse preceding that, right? This is what the Lord was saying to Isaiah before he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So he's defining what's different. God is defining in these verses what his thoughts are. God says this about, he says, seek the Lord, seek me while I may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. You know what God's thoughts are? Here's how we think. God's thoughts are this: I forgive you. I cleanse you. I want you. Come to me. Who's he want? He wants the people who are unrighteous. That's who he wants. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Who does Jesus want? The tired people, the people that are beat down, the oppressed, the underprivileged people in our society, the people who aren't on the top of the heap. He wants the lowest and the meek. And you see, he wants them because he wants to do what? He wants to pardon us. He wants to set us free from that way of thinking. He wants to set us free from our inheritance in our family. And I read this and I'm like, you know what? We don't think like God. We don't think like Him at all. Because you know how we think? These are just idioms that we believe. You get what you deserve. What goes around comes around. You got to pay the piper. If you're going to dance, you got to pay the band. So that's the way we think these ways. This is absolute truth for us. In reality, it's the way society thinks. You don't get here. I wrote this down. I thought it was funny. You don't get what you deserve. You get what you earn. And we all think all the young people should learn that. And all those people on welfare and getting government aid, and they should all learn. You don't, right? You don't get what you deserve. You only get what you earn. Is that how Jesus thinks? I don't think so. You know what else? We think this too. I wrote this down. I thought it was funny. This one was even supposed to really motivate us. Life never gives you what you deserve, but what you decide. That's what you get out of life. It's all on you. It's all on you. Listen, if it's all on you, then it's also all happens because of you. It's all grace, guys. It's all grace. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, not from your sweat and toil. Sweat and toil is actually the definition of evil. The Greek word for evil is poneros, which means labor, hard labor and toiling. That's what that word evil actually means. And we translate it into something that's a deal, when in reality, it's sweating and toiling. It's not living by grace. You know, I love the way this says it. In life, in this life, it's not what you hope for. It's not what you deserve. It's what you take. Isn't that our world? I was taught that. Beat them. Beat them. They're a stepping stone to your future. They're something you just step on to get where you're going. The meek shall not inherit the earth. In our life, it's really interesting when you think of that. Here, this is one that we all live this way. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. In your marriage, you live that way? It's not about grace. It's about what you earn. It's that's where we live, guys, and we all think that, and we think that in the negative. So when you it's how business works. How does business work? Well, you work hard to get ahead. It's not about grace. It's not about the gift and calling of God. It's not about an anointing of God on your life. It's you. And if you just work hard enough, you'll earn this. What about the Lord? What about Jesus? And we're a people who say we depend upon Him. But this stuff gets so slips into our mind. How does the government work? Well, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. I'll promise you this, and you give me this, and I'll give you that. And you know, the funny thing about government is all this giving they're doing is with our money. And they're just giving it away. If they can get what they want, they trade all the time. It's how, and it is, it is how most marriages work and relationships. You help me and I'll help you. Well, I helped him do that. I helped him do that. And how come he's not helping me? Now I'm bitter and judging and angry. And well, did you give that as a gift, or was that payment for service rendered? You see, it's like in America, we've forgotten what gifts are. You know what gifts are? Freely given, with nothing expected in return. You know what happens when we expect stuff in return? We get disappointed. We judge. We get angry. When you were saved by His grace, it was a free gift. Jesus gave it all. You didn't do anything to deserve it or earn it. And so when we look at this, I think it's real important. We've got something to give away. You see, I want you to look at this verse. This is a very interesting verse. God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him, He gave him. What was the world clean when He gave it? He gave His Son? Were we all righteous? Were we all following Him? No, it's even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. With no expectations, it was a free gift of love. There was none of that stuff in there that, well, you do this and I'll do that. Well, you don't deserve this gift. You don't deserve Him. There was none of that in Jesus, what He did. It's like these are very important things. So God's ways versus our ways. I would rather have His ways. You see, in our ways, you know what's bad about our ways? Your value and worth increases or decreases based on what you bring to the table. Like, that's how you or judge yourself. That's how people judge other people. Well, I value them because they have this status in society. I value them because they've achieved this. I value them because they were a world champion or they were a superstar. I was talking to Josh this week and we were like, you know, it's just so ingrained in us if, I can't think of a superstar, if Pelé was here, y'all know who Pelé is? Ricardo does. Best soccer player ever in the history of the world. Let's just say, if Michael Jordan was here, listen, he would get all the attention today. If Donald Trump walked in, he would get all the attention. If Sam Walton was alive and he walked in, he'd get all the attention. You see, we have different ways we measure people's value and worth based on their performance. And the message that we have for people is that you're value and worth is internal. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or educated or uneducated or own half of the city or not. You have the same value and worth. You're just as precious to me as if you were whatever. And that's the way Jesus sees, but that's not the way we see. And God doesn't see that way. I want to embrace the divine perspective. I want to see the way He sees. You see, the truth is, Jesus gave, you know what determines something's worth? If you found, this is a true story, South Africa, y'all know what South Africa has that's worth a whole lot of money? Gold. Now, it was a very poor place, and they were farmers. But, you know, they also, at one point, before they discovered gold, they actually had one of the most, they had something more precious than gold in South Africa. Ostrich feathers. Now, that's hard for us to understand. But there was a time in the world's history when ostrich feathers were more costly than gold. Like, they were just unbelievable. And they had farms that have crops and fields and all this stuff. And there was this lady who was engaged to be married to the richest family in South Africa who owned all the ostrich feather business. But they were like blue blood people. You know, they weren't like, they wouldn't have come to Grace Fellowship, I don't think. They would have been somewhere else. And that's just the world they lived in. And this young lady was going to marry their son. And guess what? They found out her family were just poor dirt, nothing people. And so the family said, no, you can't marry him. He's not our status. So she ends up not marrying him. He dumps her, whatever. And then she falls in love with this young guy, and he's just a guy. And he was so poor, he was a, we called him, he worked for somebody who owned land, and you work for them for free, and you can work to the place where you can actually buy that piece of land you're farming. So they were just dirt farmers. And that's what they used to do in the United States too. We had that thing going on. And so this guy was working as the lowest level of laborer there was, and he eventually saved up enough money to buy this little piece of dirt that was really the only value that dirt had was how much, like a farm. If you go to the farm country, to the Delta, however much those acres can produce in farming is what the land's worth. Now, here around Cabot, it's not like that anymore. Land has just gone out the roof. But that's the way it was in the farming country. If you could make $10,000 off this farm, then that land would be worth $10,000 an acre. Well, this guy, he has this land. He's just raising crops, no money. And guess where the first place they discovered gold at in South Africa was? His farm. And he became wealthy beyond imagination. That, guess what? Now, what would you have to pay to buy his farm now? Well, you know what? The same thing's true with us. I want to tell you, because God thinks this way. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 13:44. And this is so important, because this is who you are. It's who you are. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. What are you made out of? What did God make man out of? God made women out of a man's rib. He made man out of dirt. So basically, we're all from dirt. You're dirt. That's what you are. Now, is dirt dirty? I mean, is dirt bad? Well, no, you can't. We can't exist without dirt. It's not dirty. It's not bad. It's just dirt. Now, so inside of you, there's treasure hidden in a field, Jesus said. There's treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid the treasure again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field because of the treasure that was inside of that field. He saw great value in worth more than anybody else in that field, and he gave it all. Now, it doesn't take a lot of brain power to figure this out. Do you know anybody else who gave it all so he could buy a field? Katie talked about him this morning. Jesus, we're going to celebrate his resurrection on the 20th. He gave it all. God gave everything of value to him in order to purchase our freedom. Now, why would he do that? Because he sees you as treasure. He sees you as something more valuable than anything in all of history. And you know what? We need to start thinking the way he thinks. You need to start seeing yourself the way he sees you. You see, because I know this, the Bible says it. You know how God says, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And the second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor. But it adds something else on there. See, we all think about loving our neighbors and we forget, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But how much do you love yourself? Well, I'm like at a 20% maybe. Well, then guess how much you can love your neighbor? You can't love your neighbor any more than you love yourself. Yeah, but you don't know me. He does. He talked about you in Isaiah. He said, let the people that are broken, let the people that are unrighteous, let them come to me and I will set them free. You see, God saw a value in you. He sees something in you that no one else in the world has. You're beyond measure. You're beyond price. And then we judge ourselves. So what Jesus said is he sold it all. How important was what God gave so that he could have you? It was priceless. It was his son. He gave his son so he could have you. Now, what's special about you? I mean, why would God do that? You think about it. I mean, we're all in here, and none of us are on a financial field. Like, we're not even on a financial field as, who's the basketball coach at Arkansas now? I forgot his name. Calipari, Cal. They call him Cal. Yeah. You know how much money Cal makes per game that they play? Millions. That dude makes millions and millions of dollars, not counting even though how much he makes on other stuff. Unbelievable. Well, Calipari, he's more special than you. No, he's not. Matter of fact, he's exactly the same as you. You know what makes you special and what makes me special and what makes our friends who don't know Jesus yet? They don't know they're special. You know why you're going to invite them to Grace Fellowship? Because they'll come here and they'll learn how special they are. They'll learn what God thinks about them. They'll learn what Scripture says. They'll learn who they really are. Right now, they're just a dirt field somewhere with no value other than what they can perform. You know what religion is? Performance-based. You perform, you get this. You perform, you get that. If you don't do this bad stuff, then you don't get this. That's the way the world thinks. That isn't how God thinks. We want to have a divine perspective on life. We want to see people like they truly are. So here's how Jesus thinks about you. And it's not because of what you've done. I've got a weird thing in my pocket, but I forgot I had it in there. If somebody falls asleep, I'm going to throw this at you. It's heavy and hard. Here's what Jesus thinks about you. Ephesians chapter 2. This is, okay, we could put this. Verse 5 there, it says, because of God's great love, right? Because of His great love for us, God, who's the big guy in the world? God. There's only one God in three persons. There's one, Elohim, they're one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that God who created everything, and by Him everything exists that is. Like, scientists can say what they want to, but without God, we just all turn into nothing. That's God. He created everything. Because of His great love for us, now He wrote the book. He loves you so much. He loves you. You know, you should get one of those flowers that says, He loves me, but He loves me not. But skip the He loves me not part, because that doesn't exist. So just every petal you pick on that thing, He loves me, He loves me, He loves me. Just try saying that all day long. And then if you get angry, good. Because God wants to show you where you judge yourself, where you believe a lie, and you don't believe He loves you. So be thankful for that anger. It's great. And, you know, spew out all over everybody around you, and you'll have to get healed because they won't put up with it, especially if you're out there. I didn't cut any of you off in traffic this week, did I? Okay, I don't think I would probably recognize you. It was Tracy. Did I cut you off? Listen, I'm so sorry. I pulled right in front of somebody at a stoplight this week when I was turning, and I flat out didn't see him. And as soon as I did, they laid on their horn, and they were making some kind of gestures. And I got, that was you? Sorry, Tracy. I moved over in the right, in the left-hand lane because I was going to go around the curve to Highway 38, and they were going that way. And so they pulled up right beside me. And so, you know, we're right here. Like, I'm that close to them. And, you know, and I look, and it's an old guy. And I'm an old guy. We both have gray hair. And I look, and I was saying, sorry, I did it. He didn't like that. He rolled his window down. I couldn't hear him, but he was saying something. And I was like, dude, two old guys fighting, it's just not going to end well. I mean, shoot, one of us is going to get hurt. But he went on, I'm sorry. I was sorry right then. But I didn't see him. God loves me. He loves me. He loves that guy too. I can't even get mad at that guy because guess what God does? God loves him. I can't get over it. So you got to change a word in this verse. You can't change it really, but Ephesians 2:4. but because of his great love for Alan. Now you put your name in there. Let's all say it together. Say it out loud. Say it loud because you don't believe this. I still have areas I don't believe it. But we're going to say it out loud all together. We're going to read that verse. You can read it or memorize it. But because of his great love for Alan, now say your name this time. But because of his great love for, not Alan. Who said Alan? Oh, Alan did. Sorry. We have two Alans. I forgot. No, it's you. Why did God do this? Why did he do Easter? Why did he create the world? Why did he create the cosmos? Why did he have scripture written? And he went to a thousand, oh, I can't even imagine the details that God went to bring this into reality. He did it because he loves you. That's why he did it. And guess what? He's rich in mercy because you're such a nice person. No, that is not what it says, guys. You have nothing to do with this. You know why God has mercy on me? Because he's rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. He said, I know my son Alan's going to pull out in front of somebody and really tick them off, but I'm not going to let a wreck happen. I'm going to protect him and the guy he pulled out in front of. I'm rich in mercy. Yeah, but God, I didn't see him. Oh, don't. You're not being judged by your life. You're judged by my love. And we live in a world that judges us by what we do or don't do. Does anybody here judge themselves for what they do or don't do? Like, do you? Yeah, I know some of us do. Yeah, I know. I know you guys because I was really big on that too for a long time. I finally messed up so much I either had to forgive myself or just quit. This, you know how it keeps adding up. It keeps adding up. And you eventually have so much in your backpack you can't walk anymore. God is rich in mercy, and he made us alive with Christ. He did it even when you were still dead in your transgressions. That's who God is. And we think we have to do something to earn his love, to earn his mercy, to earn his grace, to earn his gift. That's the world's way. That's not our ways. Examine your heart and see if that's how you live. I'd have you do it right now and do it honestly, and I'd ask you some questions, and what God would do is he'd expose that we all live that way in some ways. We think, what are they doing? Who are they to get that? Why do they get to do that? We don't get to do it. Why? And we start accusing and judging, and what you're doing is you're saying, that's just mercy. That's God's love. His mercy and grace are overwhelming for us. And you know what? You know why we're going to invite people to come to Grace Fellowship? That name was purely by accident. Honestly, it was. But the truth is, I want everyone in Cabot to understand God's grace. That their name's in that verse. Because of God's great love for Lisa and Steve and Mary and Elizabeth and Bob and Elijah. Because of God's great love for them, when they were still dead, by his grace, they were saved. Before they even had a thought about God, he saved them. And then you know what he did with you? He raised you up with Christ and seated you with him in the heavenly realms in Christ. Like, matter of fact, you can't go anywhere and not be in Christ. You can't undo what the God of the universe did. You're in him. Yeah, but I don't act like it. Yeah, you don't because you don't believe. You don't believe. You're not acting like it. But in him, in his world, in his thoughts, in his mind, you're already seated in a heavenly place with him. He's beyond this natural world we live in. He's not limited to this location. And neither are you. You see, you're seated with Christ. It's so funny because I think the Bible's true. I think God very specifically and carefully picked the words, the tenses, everything, the form of these words are in. And he says right here that you are seated with him in heavenly places. And that's in the present tense. It's true now and it'll be true tomorrow. Why is it true? Because God. because of the power and the grace of God, the power of Jesus' blood cleansed us from all sin. The power of His blood cleansed every stain on us, that you're no longer, when He looks at you, you're holy, you're pure, you're righteous, you're a son, you're a daughter, you're seated on a throne, ruling and reigning in heaven with Jesus Christ. And He did it to show His incomparable riches of grace. His grace. He's showing off. Every time He forgives you, He's showing off. Well, I'm serious. When I didn't get in a wreck the other day, that was just God showing off His grace. So watch me take care of the worst driver in Cabot right now. Well, wait, Alan, you're just an amazing driver. Well, I am sometimes. I'm good in mud. I'm pretty good in mud. But any other time, I'm not. But I have this grace on me, this grace of God. Well, doesn't everybody have that? Yeah, but the more you believe, the more He's free to pour out more and more and more and more. And guys, you need to believe who you are. You need to believe in what Jesus did for you and quit believing in what you don't do or in what you did. There's two ways we judge ourselves, right? I'm judging myself because I need to pay for this. You know, I made that bed. I've got to lay in it. I've got to walk through this mess because this is all my deal. And this is all my past. And that is not what Jesus said. He said, even in Isaiah, that's what He said in Isaiah. It's like, read the first verses before you read the second ones. God's ways are not our ways. He said that because, guys, I forgave you when you were still messed up. I forgave you even before you were sorry. You don't even have to say you're sorry. I forgave you. You see, but we think we're going to pay for our past. Some of us are still living scared of what's behind that wall that's going to catch us one day. Because you know it will catch you. You're going to pay. You're going to pay your dues. See those stupid things we say that we think are wisdom? Those are the ways of man that aren't His ways. They're not His ways. And then we worry about the future. We think, I've got to do this and I've got to do that to get the favor of God on my life. Jesus said, you already have it. We're already seated with Him. So, and you know why we're doing that? So He looks good. He's a good daddy. He takes care of His children. It's so that we can, He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God loves you. God loves our friends who don't know it yet. So when we invite people to grace, there's some of those cards out there. Yeah, these. When we invite people, what we're saying is, you're going to find out who God is, and you're going to find out who you are. You're going to. And you're blessed. And you're free, and you're purchased by His blood, and you're a treasure. I love that we used to do those treasure hunts. I think we should come back. You know what the treasure hunts were? That's why, what's her name that had played the piano? Jennifer. There she is. Jennifer. She's sitting right back there. I was like, what is her name? Jennifer had us pray for each other, and we'd like to do that because it's real easy. I know when I pray for anyone in this room that I already know how God thinks about you. Now, I don't know the specifics. I'll ask Him, God, what word do you have today for her, for him? And you know what? God's going to do this crazy thing. He's going to tell you something good. He's going to tell you you're a treasure to Him. He's going to tell you that you have infinite value and worth to Him. And here you are. You thought you were nobody. You thought you were less than the people sitting beside you. You're still worried about your past and you're worried about your future. And God says, no, 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 no. You're my child. You're my kid. And I'm going to buy you a coat of many colors, right? I'm going to take care of you. So this morning, come on up, Jennifer. We're going to pray. God's so good. Because of His great love for us, right? Because of His great love. God's ways versus our ways. We get to choose. Which one do you believe? Do you believe the facts? God's ways aren't based on the facts. They're based on His love. They're based on His plan. The world's ways are based on facts and judgments. Which do you want? I think that we still have both sides. I think that maybe you're struggling with your past. Like there's something stopping up the water line to your life. And you can't seem to get around this mountain. You can't seem to get over this hump. You know, it's like Jennifer was singing, break every chain. There's a chain still holding you back and you can't figure it out. Listen, it's simple. There's just somewhere where you don't believe the way God believes. And that stops your pipes up. That hinders the love of God that He's wanting to do inside of you. Now, if you knew what it was, you would already do it, right? So that's why we have prayer teams. We help each other. I see it happen. Not a week goes by when I don't see someone get a revelation about what's causing the problem in their life. And once they get it, they're free. They're free. Because God loved them before, but they're somewhere where they just don't believe. They just haven't seen it yet. God needs to bring you revelation this morning. So if you're still struggling with your past, there's something in your past, that gnawing thing that makes you think, I don't deserve this. I've got to earn it. You need to ask the Lord to show you, to help you see that. And then there's others of us that think that we just aren't enough. It's like it's about the future. Like you judge your future based off the world's look. You need to trust Him. I love the fact that Isaiah wrote that 700 years before Christ. He wrote that. What great faith that was. But you know, when he wrote it, it was as good as done. Now, we're experiencing what Isaiah wrote about 700 years before Christ's birth. Guys, if there's something in your life that seems to not let you reach your future, let's ask God. They're going to have prayer teams up here. They'll pray with you. Because we need to hear the Lord. It's got to come from Him. You need revelation. And then when you have revelation, you get to choose whether you believe it or not. And the moment you believe revelation, guess what happens? That's what repentance is. Then you're free. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Invite your friends to come meet the Jesus we know. You know how you love God? That's one way. He's missing those kids of His that don't know Him yet. You know how you love others? Invite them to know the God you know. Speak words to them. Tell them who they really are. Do treasure hunts in your own. You know, it doesn't have to be organized. Just begin to say, God, how special is my friend? And you know what? He'll speak to you. He really will. So let's all stand up. Nobody told you that becoming a fisher of men would be the most wonderful thing you ever did. Those disciples got to be a part of something unbelievable. In 2,000 years, we're still doing it today. God said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. This morning, let's all become fishers of men. Let's all find someone. Make it your goal this year, before this year gets by, find someone that you can bring to Jesus. And this is the Jesus you'll bring him to. Amen. So let's pray. And yeah, Emsley is like the star this morning. She's not the only cute baby we have, right? You've got Hudson. Hudson's a cute baby. He's a big baby, but he's a cute baby. Let's pray, okay? Father, I just ask that you'd help us today. Lord, that today we would experience those chains being broken. God, that anyone this morning, any of us, anywhere in our lives where we still are judging ourselves by our past, that today would be the day that we draw a line in the sand and say no more. No more does your past get to decide how you feel and what happens to you. Jesus, you're greater than my past. And God, if we're worried about the future, if we're fretting and worried and have anxiety, Jesus, today we say, God, I'm going to trust you for my future. I'm going to trust you for what I don't know and what's coming. I'm not going to let fear and anxiety and worry and fret stop me anymore and define who I am. So God, I just ask you to come and lead us today and tomorrow, that we would actually get to experience all the things that you say are true about us in this world, God, in this life. This, thank you, King. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you. Remember to pick up some. You can get more than one card for the kids to give prophetic words to them. So get as many cards as you want.